Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The GOP horses are being called to the post. At first call, Pawlenty, Kane, Newt, Johnson, Paul... all in the gate. There's Romney. These are in the starting gate, pawing at the ground, snorting, eyeing their competition. Some show evidence of pre-race jitters, and others hide their nervousness behind a facade of cool. As of show prep time, Thursday, June 2, 2011, we are still waiting to hear from Bachman, Christie, Giuliani, Huntsman, Palin, and Santorum, or whoever else out there might show up between now and the gunshot. In other words, it is way too early for me to start focusing too much on the race. However, let us weigh in with a few preponderings. Like you, I'm a long way off from committing my support to any candidate, except to say it is a safe bet I won't be endorsing Obama. A few of these candidates are unfamiliar to me. I really don't know a lot about Herman Cain or Gary Johnson, but I have heard from Cain I like. Haven't heard anything from Johnson that I recall. On the bench, well, to stay with my metaphor of a horse race, among those horses still in their horse trailers and heading for the track, I think Bachman is very sharp, right on point on all the key issues. You gotta love Christie. He's a traditional values Giuliani, really. And Santorum is certainly able to run with a lead pack. As for Newt, all I'll say at this point, you know, let's start the winnowing process here, shall we? With a field as crowded as this one, and at this early stage, it's all about who I'm not going to support more than it is about who I will support. And of course, this can change as things develop. Not in this case. Now, I understand that Huntsman is the country club Republicans' Go Pride candidate. Let's face something here together, shall we? Some influential homosexuals have wormed their way deep into the GOP among the aristos, the GOP aristocrats who imagine themselves above such provincial moral concerns like the sanctity of all human life and the sacredness of marriage. Huntsman is their man, although he is probably a bit more pro-life than some in the country club would like. He makes the issue a matter of personal opinion rather than one of constitutional conviction or commitment to the core principle of liberty. You know, that all men are created equal. Now here's a Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert! The work of God begins at conception. Oh yeah. Quote, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, end quote. Psalm 139:13. Huntsman says he is opposed to abortion in all cases except rape and incest or when the mother's life is in danger. Now, this is acceptable to many pro-choice Republicans and many of you who consider yourself pro-life because, look, it's a position that essentially says abortion is not fundamentally in and of itself the murder of an unborn baby. You have to understand that. Rather, it's merely an ugly bit of business that we just find objectionable on the ground of, well, because we don't like it. And so in the case of rape and incest, well, we can give it up on that because, you know, that's a severe and serious situation. Now, no one with sense would accept the idea that killing the baby of a rapist is okay. Huh? Or that killing the baby that was conceived in incest. Well, that's just fine. You say, not if it's a human being. The point is, this position concedes the fundamental issue regarding abortion. And that is this. If it's okay to kill a baby because it was conceived in rape or incest, then you're clearly not considering that baby to be a human being because only a heinous Auschwitz monster would think killing a human being is okay if he or she was conceived by some pervert. Get my drift? On the question of whether it's appropriate to commit abortion to save the life of the mother. Yeah, let me just start here. I remember the day when no woman worth her salt would for one instant even consider the idea of killing her baby in order to save herself. I remember a time when the maternal instinct was so strong and universal that any woman with life growing in her womb would do anything possible to preserve that life. And I have a suspicion that's still the case in the vast majority of cases. Okay? Let's look at the facts, shall we? Now, I realize that facts are never a deterrent to the development of opinions in the minds of bigots. The bigoted antichrist Christian phobes out there who rage against the cords of morality that have bound this culture together for the last few hundred years and has provided the moral foundation necessary to support the raising up of the greatest, most prosperous, most powerful nation the world has ever known. I realize you folks like you won't let the facts get in the way of your bigotry. But just because some people reject the truth, there's no reason not to speak it. The fact is, occasions when it is truly a choice between the life of the mother or the baby are very, very rare. In fact, it's arguable that they don't exist. You see, look, in the vast majority of such cases, nature decides the matter before anyone else can do anything about it. And in the majority of what's left, what remaining few cases there might be, you will find that rarely, if ever, there's any question in the heart and mind of the mother about which life is to be preserved. This is a hypothetical case that's created to break down a commitment to the hard scientific facts in the case of pregnancy. The baby in the womb is a separate human being from the moment of conception and is no more a part of the mother's body than a suckling baby is part of her body who was latched to her breast for nourishment. Murdering a baby because it was conceived in a violent act of rape or incest makes as much sense as lining bastard children up against a wall and shooting them. You know, when the fiends who should be lined up against the wall and shot are the rapists and those perverts who sexually prey upon their own children. Give the amoral Alinsky progressives more time to corrupt further your sense of morality, and you'll be questioning whether incest is actually such a bad thing after all, huh? And you remember I said this when in about 5 or 10 years, you're being told it's actually a healthy thing, normal, and to be expected. 20 to 30 if we get a conservative in the White House. Huntsman is pro-life except when the baby is conceived by a rapist, whether or not the rapist is a relative. And by the way, he'll go for gay marriage too. Uh-huh. So yep, that's the blue blood Republic rats man. Then there is our beloved Newt. Now, a lot has been said about Newcomb Newt nuking his own campaign as he approached the starting gates. But don't write him off just yet. First of all, as annoying as Newt has occasionally been, he still has a reserve balance in his account for his performance as Speaker and his service to the conservative movement in the past. So here's my take on Newt, at present anyway. He deserves a hearing. He has some great ideas. He needs to be listened to. There's no question about his good conservative sense on most issues. It's just that, frankly, when it comes to doing the candidate thing, he gets mushy-headed, starts second-guessing himself, and thinking he has to sound a certain way to dodge the bullets of the left. But the fact is, friends, they're going to shoot at you if you have conservative ideas, no matter what you say. And let's face it, conservatives always look best when they are taking on the progressives straight on. And they always look their most lame when they're trying to come at libs from some oblique angle. And listen, head-to-head, toe-to-toe, punch-for-punch, liberals lose every time. Why don't our conservatives get that? The only time conservatives begin losing to liberals is when the stupid conservative starts letting the liberal control the ring and starts dancing around the issues instead of just throwing heavy body punches and headshots straight on. Not mixing up my metaphors here. But here's what I'm saying. You get Newt head-to-head with any liberal, and if Newt will just, you know, take him straight ahead, shoot straight, articulate conservative principles and policies as he does so well, clearly and in a straightforward manner, not trying to sound like a liberal, like the way the liberals want him to sound, he'll wipe the mat with these guys every time. But when he starts trimming his message to, you know, in his mind, it seems, make it palatable to the MSM and to profile himself acceptable to them, that's when he gets in trouble. That's when he takes dumb positions like he did on the right. You know, his position on the Ryan budget is an example of what I mean. Look at that position. He's saying basically that Ryan is not being a smart duck and weaver, you see. Newt thinks Ryan needs to back off, go slow, sneak in under the radar. And that's nonsense. That is exactly what we do not need right now. We do not need a conservative hiding his conservative agenda under a veneer of liberal rhetoric. Did you hear me? That's how liberals get control of the ring. And by the way, we don't need to use incrementalism. This is an emergency. And that approach will only slow the train from, 200 miles per hour careening off the cliff into the ravine down to 199 miles an hour careening off the cliff into the ravine. Ryan's got the right idea, and we better listen and support him, but it's Newt's way to attempt clever political maneuvering to dance around the liberals. Now, we need someone who will take the fight directly to them. Haven't you noticed that every time a conservative directly challenges the liberals, the people cheer? Anyway, Newt should go ahead with his campaign and get a hearing for his ideas, but I don't think he's going to pull it off. Palin has demonstrated many excellent qualities of leadership, and the kinds of things the liberals come out with against her are just lame and foolishness. She's an excellent communicator. It turns out, however, that in the end of the day, she's simply a party gal. You know, I'm still ticked off with her that she would throw her support behind Meg Whitman and leave us stuck with Moonbeam. Now, how it is that an avowed pro-lifer like Palin can compromise and throw her support behind a pro-choicer? And look, not just any pro-choicer here, but Meg is a used taxpayer money to fund it pro-choicer. It's something that reveals to me a side to the party gal that in my mind disqualifies her from getting my vote. Now, we don't need business as usual, go along to get along, principles surrendered to politics type of candidate. I'm telling you that her endorsement of Whitman confirmed for me what many others had offered as suspicions about her, and that is that at the end of the day, she is a party gal, which means she will go along with the party when she has to in order to stay in the game. Romney lost his credibility with me when he failed to denounce his mistake in Massachusetts, where he pushed for Romney Care, which is nothing else but a state-level version of Obamacare. It has utterly failed in Massachusetts, and he won't admit it and take responsibility for it, so, okay, he owns it. And how can we take him seriously when he says he's going to lead in repealing Obamacare, when in fact he fundamentally agrees with Obamacare in principle? Did you hear what I said? You understand that his only objection to Obamacare is that he thinks every state should decide for themselves whether or not they should go for it. Well, and that's good. I appreciate that. But don't you see that this reveals that in Romney's mind, Obamacare is a good thing? Don't you see what that tells you about his core beliefs concerning the role of government in our lives? Come on. I'm not going to forget, by the way, that he was pro-life, as I understand it, and then went pro-choice to win election in Massachusetts. And then when he needs the GOP endorsement on a national level, he knows he's got to go pro-life. So I don't know where he's at with this. Is he a pro-lifer who goes pro-choice when it's necessary to get endorsements? Or is he a pro-choicer who goes pro-life when it's necessary to get endorsements? Or, in other words, another politics as usual guy. And we want the unusual man who stands on principle and is not wishy-washy. I'm going to have to take a quick break. And by the way, I know that when it comes down to analyzing candidates, I'm about the best you're going to find anywhere. I'm kidding. What I was actually going to say is, I know that I make my friends mad at me because they've placed their bets too early on candidates, and they think I'm working against them, and that's not true. I'm your friend. All I can say is you really should not place your bets just yet. You should watch how the field develops, and I think you'll have to admit, I've given you something to think about. I'll be right back.
Here's the deal. If you would consider it an honor to participate in the ministry of Pastor Scheidbach and the Brain Massage Show, then you're invited to go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Pastor Scheidbach is lighting the lamps in the Belfry Arch, alerting all Americans that the commies are coming. The commies are coming. Help us spread the message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or write us at Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch. Signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Let's see, should I continue with my analysis of the candidates? I've touched on the ones who are the favorites among most camps I'm familiar with and that I run with. I definitely want to look more closely at these, but I'm going to save further comment till later. Now, you are welcome, by the way, to pitch your candidate to me with all the gusto, fervor, and enthusiasm that you have for your candidate. I'll certainly listen to what you have to say. And I'll get back to you. Let's work together on this, shall we? Some of you know that here in Santa Maria, Caltrans has ruled against allowing us to construct a memorial to our military, all branches, that includes the display of the American flag. And their rationale is that if they do this, well, that will open the door to others who might petition Caltrans to display their flags or other memorials and so on. And you know what? That is something our farmers can make some use of to fertilize their fields. It's a pile of, how did Jim put it? Jim Kaufman, Colonel Jim, staunch supporter of the Brain Massage, wrote me an email. Here it is, bovine scat. We're talking about the national emblem of the country, representing every American. And if we let these people regulate public displays of national pride and patriotism to the same level as expressing private or personal ideologies, we will have forfeit our national identity. Now here's what's going to happen. Eventually, every flag will be welcome except the American flag. That's to where it goes. Oh, yeah. If we cower to their political correct nonsense, they will make patriotism a matter of personal rather than national identity. You understand what I'm saying? Thus erasing national identity and further eroding our place among the nations as one nation, under God, indivisible. Look, don't be fooled by all this. It's part of the scheme to dilute American identity, to break it down, to divide the indivisible nation. It's a divide and conquer scheme. Now look, be wise. I understand that not everyone participating in this nonsense is motivated by the same ambition or the same goals. I know that. Not everyone in Caltrans is motivated by a desire to break down American nationalism or to dilute our unity. Of course. Most of these guys who get involved in this stuff are dupes. People who have bought into the rhetoric. Simple-minded and so that the argument makes sense to them. You know, you say, it's not fair for some enthusiastic patriots who want to honor our national military to get to do that on public property unless you also allow others to display their allegiance to their personal ideologies, too. Believe me, there are people who are so simple-minded. It's like that dog in the window in the back seat you see sometimes bobbing its head with every bump in the road. Simpletons! But behind the simpletons, you see, there are the scorners who really need to be slapped. I don't mean physically. You know, but smite the scorner and the simple will beware. Huh? Oh, forgot Bible Hub alert. There are the scorners feeding them this poisonous notion that public displays of national patriotic pride on public property is equivalent to private ideological or personal pride that is not national, but just private and personal. And for them, it comes from a hatred for America, a scornful bigotry against the United States built mostly on lies and distortions. You know, where they carefully cherry-pick events out of our history that support and then assemble them together to create this picture of the country that's terrible indeed. Now, you don't evaluate a face by its blemishes alone. You take the whole face into consideration. The face of America certainly has blemishes. Mexico doesn't. Cuba doesn't. Russia doesn't. China doesn't. Name a country, you numbskulls. Mexico, Cuba, China, all of the communist and all the crony capitalist countries in the world have blemishes. You socialist moron. If you looked at the countries you pretend are so pristine with the same microscope you use to examine America, just maybe you'd see what fools you've become. Get real, man. Anyway, the fact is we are being overrun with illegal aliens. And of course, Wasserman, that's Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman, by the way, is aghast that these rascally Republicans want to make illegal immigration illegal. Imagine. I mean, think about this for a minute. Here's a congresswoman who expects us to take her seriously when she complains about conservatives who want illegal immigration to be considered a crime. A newsflash for Congresswoman, illegal means illegal. Duh. In other words, they're not here legally, you know? They're here illegally. You get that? Is it, in other words, not legal? Okay. Here's the point. These people have never been naturalized. Or in other words, they have never declared their allegiance to this country. Their allegiance is to some other country, to their homeland, which, by the way, is totally honorable. I don't object to that. There is nothing at all wrong with someone wanting to remain connected with the nation of their origin. However, such persons have no business voting for representatives in this country because their loyalty is clearly somewhere else. Now, the fact is, a lot of this Caltrans nonsense and the court that ruled against displaying the American flag on public property controlled by Caltrans back in 01 and 02, Anyway, not long after 9/11. This is coming from the idea that America is indistinguishable from, say, Mexico or South America. That this country, or a large section of it, was stolen from the indigenous people, the Indians and the Mexicans. And it's all about diluting our indivisibility. You better listen to me, folks. You watch. There are those at work to undermine our core principles articulated in the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag, and they are attempting to use the freedoms that are articulated and supported in our Bill of Rights and manipulate the system created by our Constitution to work the ruin of our nation. And we had better, we need that pledge and we need that declaration. Brain massage enlightenment moment about to burst upon you. Our Constitution is a contract between we the people, in which we the people agree how we will have our government organized to serve the vital functions of government, making laws, executing those laws in the business of government, and adjudicating those laws. And I talked about this last week. Our founders divided these into three separate branches called legislative, executive, and judiciary. And then we added to this a set of laws that the government is organized specifically to protect. Fundamental laws. Laws that provide for the liberty of every citizen. And this is called the Bill of Rights. There were 10 of those. Over the years, other amendments have been added, and all of these were designed to protect some recognized fundamental right of Americans. They're not written to create those rights. They are an effort to articulate and establish the protection of rights that are already understood to be there, given to us from God, our Creator. Now watch. You need to understand your country. Many of you don't. This Constitution created a union, a country, a nation of people committed together under this contract called the Constitution. A very unique thing, unheard of in the history of the world. Identified by the first two words of that contract, we the people, is the people who together are united and bound by that contract called the Constitution. It did not mean all the people of the world, but the people who together were entering into the contract. And this is the reason someone not born here of citizens must formally state their allegiance to the contract, to the Constitution. This union, this country, created by this contract called the Constitution, is a nation and has taken its place among the nations of the world and has risen to be a great power. Three documents form the foundation upon which this contracted people's nation was built. And the first is the Bible. Oh, yeah. As all our founders said time and time again, this is the source book for our core principles and our shared national values. And this is enshrined in our motto, "In God We Trust." And the God we're talking about is the God of the book, the Bible, not the Quran. The second is the Declaration of Independence. This articulates the key cornerstone ideals of our nation, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And the third is our Pledge of Allegiance. These are the documents that bind us together. Understand that. The Pledge of Allegiance, in which is articulated the bond that holds us together, our allegiance symbolized by our common flag. We say, quote, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all," end quote. The nation is held together by this Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. And that republic is one nation, it's under God, and it's indivisible, and it stands for liberty and justice for all. The gainsayers may point to as many examples as they might find of failure on our part to live up to our motto, to fulfill our pledge, or to stay true to our commitment to the Declaration. But no other country has come so close as America has in achieving liberty and justice for all. And as they say, there are only two people who've ever stepped forward willingly to die for your liberty. And that's Jesus Christ. And by the way, the American soldier. Don't you find it interesting that those who want to destroy this country always attack these things, the national motto, which Obama thinks is a pluribus unum. Huh? Think about that. The Declaration of Independence, which Obama consistently misquotes and only recently has learned that the word creator's in it. Have you noticed? It's campaign time, you know. What a liar. And the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Well, they hate that. They hate the whole under God thing, you know. And they're doing everything they can to keep Americans from pledging allegiance to the flag. They want to break down the indivisibility for which it stands. I'm telling you, illegal immigration is one way they're using to dissolve our national identity and into a diluted, mixed multitude of tribal allegiance. Listen, don't you see that if this continues, we will be reduced to the nonsense we see in Arab nations and elsewhere, where you have these tribal chiefs leading packs of clans fighting for clan interests against national interests, and this is going to bring our country to ruin. George Washington warned against it repeatedly. Stop this. Unless an immigrant truly desires to join we the people in pledging allegiance to the flag of this country, committed together to support and preserve the Constitution and strengthen the bond of unity, preserving this nation as indivisible, they have no business voting or taking advantage of any of the benefits of membership in this grand fraternity. A citizen of the United States of America, they need to join. They need to renounce their allegiance to any other foreign power and pledge allegiance to this country. And flying our flag on public property is the right of we the people. That is, the people united under that flag and committed to the constitutional republic for which it stands. All right, I got to move toward a break. Let's see here. Another way to break down the union is to break the bank. I'm very happy our Congress decided not to give up the only leverage they have with these insane tax and spend progressives and refuse to increase the debt ceiling. Way to go, guys and gals. Look, nothing is more obvious to anyone with sense than if you have tapped out your credit cards, the smart move is to stop using them and not continue to get limit increases. Now, how many of you out there, in the sound of my voice, got yourself in a bind following that sort of foolishness? And you're older now and you've learned your lesson. Well, this country needs to grow up, for heaven's sake. The national credit card is maxed out. And just because the government can go to the basement, print up some more funny money, that does not mean that you can forever increase the limit and not someday have to pay the piper. Well, it's piper paying day. It's caught up with us. It's got to stop. They are playing some games with us that has us all living with costs of living creeping up and up and up and up, and yet miraculously, there's no inflation. Excuse me? How'd they pull that one off? The fact is, we are experiencing inflation, my friends. It's being hidden from us by manipulating the system and playing games. But the fact is, you know what you're paying at the pump for gas. You know what you're paying at the grocery store. You see your disposable income disappearing and dwindling. You notice the creep up in utilities and other prices rising. Since Obama has come to office, food prices have risen 57%. Gas prices have risen 37%. Cotton has hit a 150-year high. It's increased over 210%. They spend and spend and spend, yet the economy remains flat. That's because they are attempting to use the system that broke Greece, the system that broke Russia. And they're foolishly trying to use the methods these countries have used in the past that have failed, and it's going to fail here also. And there can only be one explanation. They want the country to fail. They hate capitalism. They prefer communism. But the fact is, capitalism is the economic system of free men, and communism is the economic system of oppressors. And oppression never produces prosperity for anyone except for the elites at the top of the heap. The fat cat union bosses, the crony capitalists, and their political puppets they use to fleece the people in order to line their pockets. Set the people free. I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see them. You say lights on if you see the lights are on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the warning loud and clear. Basically, it means you agree with me and you'll let others know about the show and you'll spread the word. You can say lights off and slam the phone down, but be careful you don't break your phone, you know. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. 1-888-770-8000. Leave me a message. To get to our website, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.